trained workers in the world like you. And by the way,
you are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Every time they say, why are you so pro-labor? Because you're the best workers in the world. And they say, how's that? Nobody decides, I want to be a laborer, I want to be a plumber, I want to be an electrician. It takes you 4 years, busting your neck, basically going back to school to be able to become certified. That's why you're the best. You're the best educated in what you do. I really mean it. I spoke with members of the business roundtable, the big business guys. They asked, why am I so pro-labor? Because you save them money. What you do lasts. What you do lasts. And through the American Rescue Plan, we're funding workforce development programs, including $128 million here in Wisconsin, dollars in Wisconsin, so American workers are prepared to compete in the economy we're building. This is a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America. And we're also doing something that for years people just talked about. We're going to buy American for everything we build. Last night, I announced we're proposing new standards to require all construction materials used on federal infrastructure projects be made in America. American lumber, American glass, American drywall, American fiber optics, American roads, bridges, highways made with American products. My first 2 years in office, we've created 800,000 manufacturing jobs. Where? I mean it sincerely, jobs you can live on. Where is it written America can't lead the world in manufacturing again? I didn't see it written anywhere. Our economic agenda has ignited a new manufacturing boom. Just outside of Madison, Arrowhead Pharmaceuticals is going to hire 250 workers in a drug manufacturing facility. Georgia Pacific is committed to a major expansion of the Green Bay paper production facility, bringing in 100 new employees and hiring 500 construction workers. For decades, we've imported products from abroad and sent jobs overseas because they thought it was cheaper to have the cheaper labor. Now America's exporting product overseas and creating jobs here at home. Look, I didn't come from a poor family, but I came from a typical middle-class family. Split-level home, four kids, a grandpa living with us. It wasn't so private for my mom and dad, but we thought it was good. But all kidding aside, typical middle-class family. For decades, the backbone of America, the middle class, has been hollowed out. It's been hollowed out. Good-paying manufacturing jobs moved overseas, production, because it was cheaper there. When jobs move overseas, factories at home close down. You saw it in Janesville, where Sarah, a woman you just heard from, is from. When the last assembly line was shut down in a GM plant 2 days before Christmas 2008, thousands of people lost their jobs at the plant and the surrounding businesses that the plant kept alive. Look, think about how many moms and dads had to have that conversation with their kids. Honey, I just lost my job. We got to move, honey. I'm not sure where. We can't live here anymore. No job. Once thriving cities and towns became shadows what they used to be. When those towns were hollowed out, something else was lost. Pride, self-esteem, a sense of self-worth. But now we're going to turn that around. We're building an economy where no one's going to be left behind. My economic plan is about investing in places, people that have been forgotten. As part of that plan, I talked last night about things we're going to do for families. Just a little more breathing room. Just give them, my dad said, just a little more breathing room. At the end of the month, when everything's paid, you have just a little more breathing room. We're going to lower the cost of everyday products for y'all. And we're taking on what we call junk fees. Those hidden surcharges businesses use to make you pay more. We're making airlines show just how the full price of the ticket cost up front not after the fact, and refund your money if your flight is canceled. Reduce the exorbitant bank overdraft fees, saving an American taxpayer $1 billion a year. Just those fees that were exorbitant for an overdraft. We're proposing to cut credit card fees by 75%. Now they average, if you're late in the payment by a day, it's $30. Guess what? It's going to be $8 now. I heard a commentator on the way flying out here in Air Force One. The television was on, talking about little things like junk fees. Says, why isn't Biden talking about important things, important issues? Why, the next thing he's going to be talking about is taking in your garbage. Well, let me tell you something. Junk fees may not matter to the wealthy people, but they matter to most folks like the home I grew up in. They add hundreds of dollars. They add hundreds of dollars a month to make it harder to pay your bills or afford that family trip. I know how unfair it feels when a company overcharges you and think they can get away with it. It plays for suckers, and it makes you angry. At least it does me. Frankly, it offends me to think about it. So I'm calling on Congress to pass a Junk-Free Prevention Act so we can do more than crack down on these junk fees. For too long, workers have been getting stiffed. You know, 30 million workers, the vast majority of them on an hourly wage, had to sign non-compete agreements when they took their job. 30 million. These aren't trade secrets they're hiding. They are hourly wages. That's when a construction worker on a job site can't cross the street and take a job with another outfit to make a couple more bucks. We're banning these agreements for companies that will won't compete, so they pay people the fair share. Why in God's name you tell an hourly worker that they have to sign an agreement that they will not take a similar job in anywhere in the area? Look, one of my objectives is to restore the dignity of work, to restore it. You know, we've made a lot of progress over the past 2 years. Many of you have seen, we've had a spirited debate last night with my Republican friend. My Republican friends, they seem shocked when I raised the plans of some of their members and their caucus to cut Social Security. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and others stood up and said, liar, liar. Reminds me of liar, liar, house on fire, yeah? Well, guess what? You know, I remind you that Rick Scott from Florida, the guy who ran the U.S. Senate campaign, has a plan. I got his brochure right here. He has a plan. Here's what he says in his plan. Let me open it up here.
Sorry.
He says, all federal legislation sunsets every 5 years. If the law is worth keeping, Congress can pass it again. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And by the way, you have a senator named Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson on Social Security, Medicare, quote, we should transfer everything, so we have to consider everything every year. Come on, man. And then we found there was a senator named Mike Lee, who was also yelling, you know, liar, liar, house on fire kind of stuff last night. Well, I didn't even know this, but they played a video showing him. He said, when I said they want, I didn't say the whole part. I said, leading Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare. And so they played last night something I didn't even know existed. A video of him saying, I'm here right now to tell you one thing you probably never heard from a politician. It'll be my objective to phase out Social Security, pull it up by its roots, get rid of it. Then he added, I'm quoting this now, Medicare and Medicaid are the same sort. They need to be pulled up. Sounds pretty clear to me. How about you? but they sure didn't like me calling them on it. Look, a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security, Medicare. Well, let me just say this. It's your dream, but I'm going to, my veto pen, make it a nightmare. But here's actually the good news. There's a lot of good Republicans. I found it interesting that when I called them out on that last night, it sounded like they agreed to take these cuts off the table. Remember I said, no, I'm serious. Remember what I said? I said, so you're not going to cut it, huh? No. I said, okay, we got a deal. Well, I sure hope that's true. I'll believe it when I see it and their budget's laid down with the cuts they're proposing. But it looks like we negotiated a deal last night on the floor of the House of Representatives. Seriously, you see them all standing up saying, we're not going to cut any. Well, that's good. Because, by the way, we got a lot of good bipartisan stuff done in the previous year. Why can't we do it again? Here's the bottom line. All of you have been paying in the system every single paycheck you've had since you started working. These benefits belong to you, the American worker. You earned it. And I will not allow anyone to cut them, not today, not tomorrow, not ever, period. You know, some Republicans in Congress are even threatening of America default on its debt if I don't agree to the cuts they want. Democrats have never, ever done that, by the way. Now, let's talk about what our national debt is. Everybody thinks it's like what we spend this year versus last. The national debt is the total debt and interest accumulated over 220 years. Hear me? Over 200 years. Every single year that we went and spent more than we took in, it added up. So the federal debt you're hearing about is not the yearly debt. It's 220 or so years of accumulated debt. Democrats, Republicans, everybody. But here's the deal. Our credit has been good. We've never missed a payment as a nation on the debt we have. Why in God's name would America give up the progress we made for the chaos they're suggesting? This nation has gone through too much. We've come too far to let that happen. I won't, not on my watch. And while there's more work to do, it's clear our plan is working because of the grit and resolve of the American worker. And I'm not trying to just be nice to you. I've been saying this my whole career. We're going to keep lowering costs for families. We're going to keep putting shovels in the ground to rebuild our infrastructure, our supply chains, and manufacture more here at home. You know, in the communities across the country that were too easily written off for dead, we're going to see not only jobs and economic opportunity return, but a sense of pride. I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I was raised in a little steel town called Claymont, Delaware. There's no more steel being made. Scranton, because of coal, everyone's from Scranton. And just like you're going to see here in Wisconsin, we're going to make sure that what we do is we rebuild these communities. Let me close with this. I've long said it's never been a good bet to bet against America. Not a joke. That's what I've told all. I've been doing foreign policy for a long time. I know every major world leader for the last 35 years. Know them face to face. I did it for the previous president, my president, Barack Obama, and I'm doing it now. I can say honestly, as I stand here today, I have never, ever been more optimistic about America's future than I am today. We just have to remember who in God's name we are. We're the United States of America. We're the best positioned nation in the world to lead the world in the 21st century. There's nothing beyond our capacity if we work together. And it's my hope we're going to find enough Republicans who want to do that. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. Thank you.
And there you have it, President Joe Biden, live for us in DeForest, Wisconsin, giving what was a wonderful speech. Actually, touched on a lot of issues today. Heard from the dais talking about things that we get done, made in America, unions, things that benefit Wisconsin and also benefit the trades, of course, played to his audience at the Labor District Council there, but also connecting with a lot of rural America. Probably one of the best lines talking about the Republicans, and had Rick Scott's proposal to cut Social Security, Medicaid in his hand, showed it to him, and then said, you know, quote, we had a spirited debate last night with some of my Republican friends. Instead of Republicans, he said, quote, it may be your dream, but my veto pen will make it a nightmare. I thought that was a great line. Joining us once again, co-host of Devil's Advocates Radio and president of Civic Media, here is Mr. Mike Crute. Mike, what do you think of the the speech?
I like Joe. I like Joe when he's like this.
Right.
You know, that was, I'd give that a strong B+.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a harsh critic when it comes to right. public speaking. You know, I have my strong opinions. That's about as good as it gets from Joe Biden. Following up the State of the Union address, our fine, capable producer in here, Aaron, even took note of the fact. Well, he wasn't naming names last night during the State of the Union address. No such qualms today. Calling him out by name, Marjorie Taylor Greene, yelling at me, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Mm.
Well, obviously, she's a spectacle, a walking spectacle. But above and beyond the Marjorie Taylor Greene, he called out Mike Lee, called out U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from our backyard. And, of course, he called out the Rick Scott plan, as you noted. Hell, he pulled out the brochure,
yeah,
right?
In writing.
I was listening on the radio. I didn't see it visually. We do have our own Terry Bell at the scene of the Joe Biden speech. Hopefully he'll call in soon, and you could call in. We'll do a little wrap-up here. We'll eventually get back to normal programming, but a special event when the president comes to our backyard. What was your reaction to the speech? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. If you care, we'll take you. Otherwise, we'll sneak back to Tom Hartman very soon and back to our typical live programming. But again, it's not a typical day. It's not a typical day. The president of the United States, he has come to town. And I thought he gave, you know, a damn solid B+ speech.
It's picking up a little, those issues last night. And we had, on our coverage last night, we had panelist Bill McCosher, former Republican operative in the Tommy Thompson's administration. And I asked Bill this last night, Crute. I said, you know, last night Joe Biden talked about Buy American. Supply chains back from China, lots of deals, record jobs, non-college workers, which he did today. And I said, Bill, those would be things that Trump would love to run on. And back where I'm from in Richland Center and your former boss in Elroy, those are themes that play. And Joe Biden repeated those today. These are issues that are wedge issues that connect with Wisconsinites, Crute.
You know, I was listening to you. You dropped the Tommy Thompson card on Bill McCosher. I did communicate briefly with Bill this morning via text. My only regret about last night's coverage, I found it to be excellent, right up until the Republican response. Because you talked about all these salient points, these kitchen table issues, jobs, and the future. That's what Joe Biden's talking about.
Mm.
And then the Republican response was unmoored.
Yeah.
I'm not clear what that was, Hucka Sanders, whatever that was. It did not feel like any sort of coherent response to anything I've seen in the past.
No, I mean, her opening line was attacking Democrats as, quote, a woke mob that can't even, doesn't even know what a woman is. I mean, how sickening.
The social wedge war that they didn't even want to fight. That's Todd Alba. I'm Crudy. We're doing special coverage. Joe Biden in DeForest, Wisconsin, in Madison. We'll check in with our own news director, Terry Bell. Come back. Special coverage on Civic Media.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus.
You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Highs level off around 43 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 31. Mixed precipitation likely again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Welcome back to Goes Wisconsin. We are fresh off of our live stream across the Civic Media Network of President Biden in DeForest, Wisconsin, Dane County, and our lovely colleagues were anchoring the beginning and end, and now we are back to our regular programming of As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for sticking with us, and if you have thoughts, if you have immediate takes, if you were able to listen to the coverage or that we just had of the speech, 844-967-2789. And we do have a call right now already.
Jack, what do you want to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were still on your show. I was on earlier, so I will hang up and let somebody else make a comment.
Jack from Air America.
You have thoughts. We can still take them.
We'd love to hear what you have to say, Jack.
Well, okay. I thought Biden's speech was, to the labor people, was very good. Mike Crude, I think, quoted the beginning of Huckabee Sanders' rebuttal, I guess. That's not really what I call it, but her speech against Biden's State of the Union. And he was just right on with, you know, basically saying, it was a lot about nothing.
Yeah. I would totally agree with that. Thanks for your call, Jack. And I thought, I mean, Mr. Greg Bach, our co-host on Wednesdays, did you have immediate reactions from the speech that we just heard?
I thought it was a good speech. I thought it was just a real, just, you know, this is what the president does. He does a State of the Union, then he goes on a nice little tour for the next couple mm-hmm. days and reiterates the points. And that's what he did. He still came with the big excitement. Like I said in the, a little while ago, I just think the man loves this country so much. He's so excited to be out there talking to people.
I do appreciate it. It seems like the biggest applause line from what I could hear. Granted, we were not there live. We were sitting in downtown Waukesha. But from what I could hear over the audio, the line, Wall Street did not build this country. The middle class built this country and unions built the middle class.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. Wall Street, there's a lot of people who got very wealthy off of Wall Street, but I'm not sure it built.
No.
Real wealth for the middle class.
It built no wealth for the middle class.
We had another call that wants to join us after President Biden's speech here in Wisconsin. Joanne from Madison, thanks for joining As Goes Wisconsin.
Fantastic speech, but he's leaving out two ingredients. You know who he is. The president's leaving out two ingredients that we need to make this utopia a reality. And those two ingredients are unions and child care. Okay, we want to hear what he's going to do to make sure we've got those strong unions. And, of course, child care, every study, every poll, whatever, if we don't have childcare, we don't have that essential element in the workforce, and that is women who otherwise are being saddled with incredible childcare debt. So, again, unions and childcare, he believes in both, but he's leaving them out because just that's too incendiary. So
Do you think it's because it's too incendiary, or do you think it's because it's complicated and it was not a speech to get into the policy details?
It's probably too complicated, but unless we hear those words, we won't know as people who are actually trying to get this stuff going that he's serious. I mean, having a lovely little photo op and all of that, that's great. And I'm glad he's in DeForest, and that's fantastic. But women won't be able to get those jobs until we get some government-sponsored child care. And, of course, unions can't operate right now and get started because of the horrible laws that, you know, that there are in place that keep unions from starting. It's just too difficult. I'm an IT person, we're trying to get unions started in the in IT sectors and stuff like that. Information technology is just too hard, even for the brainiacs over in Seattle and all of that, to get these unions started. We need better laws. So again, just the two words that get us all started, but fantastic. I mean, energized. Four more years, I'll buy it. I'll knock on the doors. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Joanne. That was a great call.
One of the things I looked up to, I mean, he was speaking in front of a union crowd. And
yeah.
He did. I mean, the thing is, I wanted to make sure he did talk about unions a little bit today. He talked about it last night, but he was speaking in front of a union crowd.
Well, that's true. And I don't know if this was the point she was making as far as it's one thing to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I feel like depending on, you know, typically Democrats, but it's all the appeal to unions and the talk, because it sometimes is just that of we want strong unions and we back our unions is almost sometimes the way that we talk about police or first responders and firefighters and stuff. But that sometimes when it actually comes to giving them the resources or giving them the policy support, it's a different thing to talk about it in a, we love you, we support you.
Yeah.
But what does that actually look like when it comes to negotiations?
Same thing when you talk about Social Security and other things like that. Yeah.
But he did say, I mean, and I appreciate that he brought up that it was not only Rick Scott, but it was also Ron Johnson.
I have that clip that we can play on the other side.
We will play it on the other side. But he also, we did not mention that in the first hour as we were debriefing the State of the Union, that Ron Johnson was also someone who said he was, you know, wanted to move the mandatory versus discretionary spending, and that maybe Social Security and Medicare should not be in the mandatory spending. It should be moved over to discretionary. And so there are people, as much as the Republicans wanted to balk last night, there are certainly people who don't want those programs around anymore. Yeah. All right. We are going to keep, like we said, we were going to be flexible today. We have been flexible. Yeah. Greg tried to tell me that I wasn't good at improvisation, but here we are improvising. Working around the president's schedule.
Look, I said that at the beginning of the show. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say this to her, and I know she's going to confound it, and she's going to just go for it. I'm like Mickey, and you're like Rocky. You're going to eat thunder and crap lightning.
All right. Well, we will return in just a moment. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. It's possible anglers may soon be able to purchase a lifetime fishing license in Wisconsin. Senator Patrick Teston is working on a new law that would allow a one-time purchase for dedicated anglers. The cost would be a little over $575, which equals about 30 years of fishing at the current license rate. In the race for the 8th Senate District seat, 3 Republicans are facing off in the February 21st primary. A national Republican group working to support re-elections of GOP members who voted to impeach former President Trump has launched ads criticizing State Representative Janelle Branchon. Branchon used her position on the Assembly Elections Committee to promote baseless conspiracy theories about the state's election system. She is facing State Representative Dan Knodel and Thanesville Village President Van Modley in the February 21st primary. The winner will then face Democrat Jody Habush-Sinkin on the April ballot. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 43. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 30. Tonight, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, a mixture of precipitation likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Close enough.
Yep. It has been a Biden full day.
It's Biden Palooza.
Biden Palooza. We started so much of this show talking about State of the Union last night. Then
Biden Rue.
Yes, exactly. Biden Rue. That's good. And then obviously we cut to live coverage of his speech in DeForest, Wisconsin, and still taking any hot takes or reactions to that speech if you would like to give them at 844-967-2789. But my big question is, and I put this on my Twitter this morning, and I tweeted out a delightful picture of our governor and President Biden both enjoying their ice cream, mm-hmm. because it is a balmy 45 degrees today. We are back to unusually high temperatures in Wisconsin. Don't even need a coat.
The earth is burning.
And so what creamery do you think these two ice cream aficionados are going to hit up post-speech?
Well, if they had any sense in their brains, they'd go to the Norsk's Nook.
That was a reaction. I got a couple people who said that, who said if they're in DeForest, Norsk Nook.
Their pie.
I've never been there.
It is next level.
Okay.
It is ridiculous. I bought a pie there that would, I would say, be for my work once, and that was, it was so expensive, but it was so worth it. It was so good.
What makes a pie stand out?
Love.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can really, taste it when someone's pissed off when they're baking a pie.
It's got to be a good crust.
You can really taste it when they pissed on it, too. What? No, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just that homemade, it's that recipe thing. And they're heavy too. Like a pie is heavy. These are heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. And, they're just so good. So if they have any sense in their hand, they're going to close to 2 o'clock. Oh, I don't know why I'm talking like that. Yeah, they're going to close at 2 o'clock. So they better get there. But most likely he's probably back on his plane.
He's probably back on the plane. But I just thought of that, this morning as two guys who have a lot of pictures. If you Google Evers ice cream or Biden ice cream, there's a lot of Google images that pop up that you can choose from, and then there's even one of them together.
I said it looks like it's like when your dad and your father-in-law get along and they're like, oh, they're just having a good day on a Sunday. They're getting some ice cream and they're gonna watch the parade.
Which one would you rather have be your dad or your one would you rather have be your dad, and which one would you rather have be your father-in-law?
Like, I would be a Biden or an Evers.
Yes.
I'd rather be a Biden.
Oh.
I think I'd rather be a Biden. And then Tony, or if he said, like, he called me dad. Just, you did that. That's because Biden is a guy. Like, he's like, I'm Joe Biden. Bah. But Tony just seems like the kind of guy, like, oh, I just got to hang out with my father-in-law this weekend. It's going to be quiet. We're going to have fun. We're going to watch some TV or go for a walk or something like that. You know, he's a respite. Tony Evers is a respite. Joe Biden is the hurricane that you love. You love him. You love Hurricane Joe. But every once in a while, you just need some quiet time. And then when they get together, they balance each other out. Like, you know, your father-in-law tells some jokes that he usually doesn't tell. And Joe. And
after a couple drinks. Yeah, couple old fashions.
Exactly. And your dad's like a little more contemplative. He's not, you know, he'll tell you, he'll be like, I'm real proud of you, son. That's something that Donald Trump has never said.
Yeah. Well, overall, I would say it was a good speech. It's always fun to get recognized by our national leaders when they come to Wisconsin. Beauty of being a swing state is that they come, unless you're Hillary, they come a lot.
Boom, roasted.
Bring that back.
That old chestnut from 2016.
Never to be forgotten when Hillary didn't come to Wisconsin.
Shout out to Representative Lee Snodgrass for tweeting today saying that she was invited to the speech. But she did not go because she had a committee hearing at 1:30, excuse me, on the arts. And so I just like that. I could have gone, but I decided to stay. I had some work to do. The work's important. So I just wanted to say shout out to Lee Snodgrass.
Did she unfollow you? Did she ever follow you back?
I think the thing is, I think she has two accounts. And I think one does and one doesn't. So my initial freak out and moment of sadness was wrong.
It was wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Well, I think we have milked the Biden speeches. Do you have something, Jane?
Again, I just want to play this one clip from a comment that President Biden made this afternoon while he was in DeForest, Wisconsin.
Many of you have seen, we've had a spirited debate last night with my Republican friend. My Republican friends. They seem shocked when I raised the plans of some of their members and their caucus to cut Social Security
And Marjorie Taylor Greene, another, stood up and said, liar, liar. Reminds me of liar, liar, house on fire, yeah. Well, guess what? You know, I remind you that Rick Scott from Florida, the guy who ran the U.S. Senate campaign, has a plan. I got his brochure right here. He has a plan. Here's what he says in his plan. Let me get open it up here. Sorry. He says, all federal legislation sunsets every 5 years. If the law is worth keeping, Congress can pass it again. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And by the way, you have a senator named Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson on Social Security and Medicare, quote, we should transfer everything, so we have to consider everything every year. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Be cool, man.
And actually, you know, I've mentioned this friend. He remains nameless, but one of my, I think literally my oldest friend, who is loves to text me more conservative opinions. It's partially to rile me up, but also, I mean, we do engage. And usually when I push back, I'm like, well, what would you do? He has some not realistic response. And so he did text last night. He said, you know, we're not going to cut Medicare and Social Security. And then he said, narrator, colon, they did need to cut Medicaid and Social Security, or Medicare and Social Security. And I just wrote back and said, so then what do we do? And his snarky response was, we kick all the boomers down the stairs. And then I said, is Mary first? That's his mother. And he goes, no, she's last.
Oh, that's nice.
We have another caller?
We do. We have Karen from Green Bay is on the line. Hi, thanks for joining us, Coast Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm glad to be back in Wisconsin and to finally find some good talk radio.
Woo!
Yeah, so I thought the speech was better than I expected. I was a Bernie Sanders person who was one of those people who was angry that the party was going to go with Biden. But I've been happier with Biden than I thought I would be. And he truly was portraying the fighting Joe Biden for the middle class last night. So I felt good about that. But I was hanging out on Twitter and I was getting into some of these immature tweets. I just want to ask you this. I had heard that President Biden was born with a stutter, and that when Fox News portrays him, they'll put their cameras on him all day and wait until he stutters and then try to tell you he's senile. Well, I have to tell you, as being in the life insurance industry, life insurance policies are now being written to the age of 120. And we're going to see our seniors out there rocking and rolling more. And I just wanted the people who believe that he's senile to understand that fact. That's my understanding, that he was born with a stutter and he's been wrestling with that his whole life. The other thing I wish I could have heard more about were student loan debt creative ways to solve that and why there are people going to their graves paying these student loans and having their Social Security garnished on top of it. So I think that's an issue we're going to see more of as people who get into their 70s say, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to go fight this for the younger generations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call. I think that's a really good point as far as there wasn't really anything about last night. I mean, certainly not today. It was less of the topic at hand today. But last night there wasn't, despite that being such a, it's still in the courts, right?
Still in the courts. I get an email about it like once a month saying, all right, hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight now. Come on, man. So my guess is that I truly believe that I'll have my student loan paid off before it's decided.
Before you die.
Oh, no. I plan on having it paid off this year.
I know, I'm joking. Because she said.
Oh, great. I'm going to die this year. Thanks a lot, Kristen Bry.
But the other point of the stutter, the tenacity of anybody to be able to do what the president does at any age.
Yeah.
Right? There's a reason why there's all those before and after pictures of presidents when their first term their first year of their first term, and then if they have an 8-year term, how much they've aged over 8 years. So Obama was a great one.
Yeah.
Biden, George Bush, not Biden, Clinton. But Biden to be 80 and to be up until, because it ended what, around 9 o'clock central, so it would have ended 10 o'clock
yeah.
Eastern. Probably
didn't get to bed till like 11.
Couple hours of sleep to wake up first thing in the morning, come here, practice the speech that he just did. He's back on a plane going to Florida. And so, as we've said, I can barely get through a 3-hour show without tripping over my words. And I never was born with a stutter. And so, of course, the being under the eye at any level, state government, the way that we punch up in our criticism or our jokes to the people who are in charge. But it is incredible and a testament to his drive and his energy that he is doing what he's doing and not really dropping the ball at all, besides tripping over his words every once in a while.
And the thing is all those Republicans know that. They all know he has a stutter, but they choose to ignore it. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, he's seen out. Like, no. I mean, he's old. Yeah, he's an old guy. He has a stutter, and you know that. You've known that for a long time, but you choose to try to paint it every time that he just can't do it. Like, he's unfit, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders says.
But isn't it interesting that when Sarah said that, you know, President Biden is 80 years old, which means he's too old, well, that includes the former president.
Yeah.
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 Right?
Not a spring chicken.
No, he's
that,
not.
That former guy.
Is she going to vote for Donald Trump if he runs again? If she does, then where's the consistency in that statement?
Did we also see any, as I just mentioned, the before and after pictures of the three prior presidents to Donald Trump? Was there any pictures of his first of 2017? Oh, yeah. Did he age at all?
No.
You can't tell. He's wearing too much makeup.
He wears just makeup. He tans, colors his hair. He always has the same hairdo. Like, he never, like, it's...
But you can still even, because there's the grain of the hair, but I also just feel like you can see in their face that they look more
tired. He's starting
to
lose weight now.
Is he?
I've seen pictures of him, and he looks thinner now, but he has that, like, look, you know, like, when someone you know who's older is getting older, and they just get thinner because they're getting old, and they're sick, and they don't eat as much, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, Grandma lost 50 pounds. What happened here?
You don't think he's got the buccal fat removal procedure that's so trendy right now?
I mean,
yeah, that real hollowed out cheekbone look.
I think the reason why those presidents age so much is because the job is so stressful. I don't think Donald Trump feels that stress.
Remember, this is the guy.
Yeah,
this is the guy who wasn't responsible for anything.
Yeah,
throughout the entire course of his term, I'm not responsible for
that.
What
was the quote going into the midterms? Basically, the day before. He was like, well, you know, if the Republicans do well, they really have to thank me. But if they lose, you know, it's really not my fault.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's why he didn't age, because he doesn't care. He doesn't feel the stress. He doesn't have to feel any sort of empathy. Feelings, he doesn't have those. He does not. Except for great love for himself.
Great love for himself. Although, is that the psychosis of actually a deep-seated hatred?
Oh, no.
And insecurity?
I think, no, huge insecurity that he's passed along to his children, especially his two boys. Well, they got from his father.
When we come back, are we going to talk about George Santos and the Mitt Romney thing? We have to at least get to it,
yeah,
right?
We can get to it.
All right. We're going to wrap up with that. We're also going to talk about who's headlining at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett
won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Your home is where you should feel the safest. But the air there can be more dangerous, up to 5 times more polluted than outside air. Let us help you take the steps toward making it a healthier home with our Bryant Indoor Air Quality Solutions. We can help with everything from whole home air purifiers to indoor humidity control. To schedule an evaluation of your home's air, visit Bryant.com to find a local dealer. Bryant, whatever it takes.
You can complete your home improvement projects, consolidate bills, or make large purchases and more with a home equity line of credit or HELOC loan from Key Savings Bank. You can put your home's equity to work for you today. At Key Savings Bank, there is no application fee, pre-approval in 48 hours, and you can apply online or with one simple call. Put your home's equity to work for you with Key Savings Bank, where you'll feel right at home. 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and in the town of Rome. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And speeches, which you don't get every day.
Memories.
Well, I do want to end because the two other things that happened last night that I wanted to spend more time on, but we can't. But I also don't want to spend any time on it tomorrow. I want to move on. One, the Jill and Doug kiss? Did you see this?
What?
So, did you see this?
No. The first lady and the second gentleman?
First lady and the second gentleman. And I think it was, you know how, like, at least when you're in Europe, everyone knows you start on the right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you go,
smooch, smooch.
Sure. It's been a while since I dated a European.
I Googled Jill A and the rest filled out Jill and Doug kiss.
So, you know, when you're in a culture where you always kiss, I think it's, like, very distinct. This is the side you start on. But Americans, we don't do that, right?
Well, like, we don't kiss on the cheek.
We don't kiss on the cheek as much. And some people do. But when you do, when you choose to do that, I think since there's no standard decision on this is how you do it, I think they were going to do that, to do like a kiss cheek. And they both chose the same side.
Uh-oh.
And they literally just smacked right on the lips.
That's it.
But the thing is, neither of them flinched. Then neither of them like, oh, that was funny. Like, sorry. It was just like, they just kept going on and like sat in their seats. And everyone who saw it was like, wait, what just happened?
I'm sure they probably figured if they just kept going, it'll go away.
Like, well, there'll be other more exciting things that happen tonight. And there was. There was an exchange that I can't wait for the bad lip reading to come out of.
There's already several.
There are already several.
They already came out bad lip reading. They actually came out with one saying, not our usual fare, but they just did an actual lip reading of
What was said.
Yeah.
So there was an exchange between George Santos and Mitt Romney that looked tense and petty, especially George Santos's little smug face. And, you know, I don't always agree with everything Mitt Romney votes on, his politics, but is another gentleman who I think is a very good man, I would say. I mean, as far as like his love of country, the service he has dedicated his life as multiple different positions as a elected official, and someone who I still think has a lot of respect for traditions and
principles.
So it's before the speech starts and they have an exchange. And I think Twitter was saying like, they maybe picked out the words embarrassing multiple times. But then afterwards, Mitt Romney didn't pull his punches and actually told the press what he said.
You just said you don't belong here.
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
I didn't expect that he'd be standing there trying to shake hands with every senator and the president of the United States. Given the fact that he's under ethics investigation, he should be sitting in the back row and staying quiet instead of parading in front of the president and people coming into the room.
Did he respond to you?
He says he embellished his record. Look, embellishing is saying you got an A when you got an A minus. Lying is saying you graduated from a college you didn't even attend. And he shouldn't be in Congress. And they're going to go through the process and hopefully get him out. But he shouldn't be there. And if he had any shame at all, he wouldn't be there.
Why did you make a point to say that, though? It was kind of out of your way to
say. He was standing right there in the aisle, shaking hands with everybody.
Did he respond to you?
He may have. I didn't hear anything he said.
Are you disappointed that Kevin McCarthy is not going to resign?
Yes.
Do you have any other?
He told him he didn't belong in Congress.
Yeah. And he doesn't. And the fact that he is, and I've said this before, but the sociopath level of this guy in the same category that we've seen multiple movies now of Theranos, Elizabeth, what's her face?
Imposters?
Yeah.
People who are imposters.
Anna Delvey and these real life characters who just believe the lie so hard. And then have zero shame even once they're caught, and they just continue with, I'm meant to be here. Tell that to the people who elected me.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you lied to them. And he's so petty that, so on February 5th, George Santos tweeted out, Donald J. Trump will be the 47th POTUS. And then yesterday, he retweeted that tweet and said, hey, at Mitt Romney, just a reminder that you will never be president.
And then Adam Kinzinger tweeted that one, and he said, you will never be reelected.
Which is totally true.
Yeah, I mean,
what an embarrassment for that district.
What an embarrassment for the Republican Party.
I mean, the Republicans, they did a rally outside of the Capitol yesterday, and there was a New York Republican there. He's like, yeah, this is embarrassing. I don't like this at all, and I don't like him, and how did this? It's just, it's crazy pants.
Like, who does he sit with at lunch? Is there a cafeteria?
Yeah, there's.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Like, who does he sit with? Who's his like buddy right now?
Well, isn't it Marjorie?
Is it?
I don't know. There's a guy who's next to in this video. They look pretty chummy. So my guess is they probably hang out.
Maybe he's paying him.
Yeah. He also just admitted recently that he was one of the producers on Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, which, by the way, if you don't know what that is, it's one of the most cursed.
It's a Broadway musical.
It was
right?
The Broadway musical that like Bono and the Edge were writing the music for, and people got hurt. I think someone died or maybe just got hurt. But why would you admit to that?
I know. All right. Well, in the handful of seconds we have left, Greg Bach,
yeah.
Who's headlining at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Casey Crawford and Zach Peterson.
Two headliners.
Co-headlining this weekend. Oh, yeah.
How does a co-headlining work? It's one
Friday. Very carefully.
And one Saturday?
No, just do, so like they each do like 35 minutes apiece.
All right.
And then we have a host before that. So it's a nice hour and a half show. And so there's one show Friday, two shows Saturday. Tickets are available for Friday. All tickets are available, but Saturday early show is selling out. So get your tickets before they're gone, if you want to go to Saturday early. But yeah, Zach Peters, I'm very much looking forward to, because I love Zach. Anytime Zach's in town, I'm happy. He's a good, good dude, and I'm looking forward to meeting and seeing Casey Crawford on stage. So,
well, that is very exciting. And so we are going to wrap up today's show. It was a fun one.
It was. Yes.
A lot of banter, a lot of sound clips.
Dan Schaefer was here if you want to go back and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a reminder, if you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to it as a podcast. I don't know how it's going to work, if the speech will be in there or not, so I'll have to go check back on that as far as if the president's speech will be included in the podcast as a freebie. But either way, stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. Come back tomorrow at 11. We have a stacked show with a ton of great guests. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. I am Kristen Bry, and this has been As Goes Wisconsin.
You said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. Yeah, we've only just begun. Took a long time to come.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin WFHR, Rapids Elks Lodge.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening.